Welcome to week two of our current series, From Dust to Diamonds. Now, last week we began our series out by discussing the marvel, how God takes the ordinary and from the ordinary he makes the extraordinary. This is certainly true when you consider the composition of a diamond. You know, the basic building block for a beautiful diamond is called crystalline carbon dust. It is from this crystalline carbon dust that we get the beauty of a diamond. Now, when you think about it, it is pretty amazing how ordinary carbon dust, when subjected to heat and pressure, forms a diamond. You know, throughout the process, the ordinary truly becomes the extraordinary. Think about what God did when he created Adam. He created Adam from the dust of the ground, and he took this ordinary dirt, he shaped it into a physical being, and then the miraculous took place. When God breathed the breath of life into that lifeless mannequin, and Adam became a living, breathing, thinking, free moral agent, a living soul. You know, it's simply amazing how God takes the ordinary and makes it into something that is extraordinary. You know, the Bible is really filled with examples of ordinary men and women who became extraordinary in their accomplishments for God. If you go back into the Old Testament, you start out reading about a man by the name of Moses. There was nothing unique or special about Moses. Matter of fact, Moses had so many excuses as of to why he could not do what God wanted him to do, and that was to lead the people of God. But God took the ordinary and made him extraordinary. Samson was like any other man. Samson, he had no strength apart from the unique anointing of God on his life. And when the Spirit of God came on this man, there was an ordinary man, he became extraordinary in his strength. But what about David? David, he was a young man that was considered to be king one day, and they did not even believe that it was worthwhile to bring him in for the interview. God took the ordinary, a shepherd boy, and made of him an extraordinary king, followed by his son Solomon, followed by Sarah, Deborah, Mary of the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, we all know the account, how he chose 12 very ordinary men. 7 were fishermen. You might even say 7 were stinky fishermen. You can't hang around fish, scaling them, gutting them, fishing them, cleaning nets without somewhere along the way picking up the scent of fish. And so 7 of the 12 that were chosen to be disciples, apostles, followers of Christ, they were fishermen. 1 was a tax collector. Matter of fact, he was a despised tax collector. Tax collectors for Rome, collecting taxes from the Jews, were considered to be turncoats, someone that had sold out, had no values, had no scruples at all to go out and collect taxes for Rome. And so 7 were fishermen. 1 was a despised tax collector. The other 4 were not certain about their previous occupations. But one thing can be absolutely certain here, and that is that tax collectors and fishermen were considered at the bottom of the strata of society. They were placed down at the very bottom there with the shepherds. Shepherds were thought to be thieves and, you know, someone that was totally untrustworthy. And so God, when he chooses people, he makes some interesting choices. He chooses the least likely to excel. Yet these men who had spent time with Jesus, they turned Israel spiritually upside down. Friends, you need to understand this morning that God takes great pleasure in taking ordinary people and making them extraordinary persons who reflect his glory in all of the earth. Remember, a diamond does not have light in and of itself. A diamond only reflects the light that is shined upon it. And God wants us to be diamonds whereby we glitter for him, and the fire that's within us is the fire of God. Dust to diamonds. So just how then does crystalline carbon dust, this dust, how does it become a sparkling diamond? What is the process? For the next few moments here, I want you to consider with me the amazing process of this crystalline dust becoming a diamond. I'm going to put a chart on the screen for you. You know, scientists are still scratching their heads trying to understand the exact process of how dust becomes a diamond. However, they believe that they have certain parts of the recipe that they understand. First of all, if you're going to have a diamond, you have to bury carbon 100 to 120 miles deep in the earth. It's down in the strata that is called the mantle of the earth. The mantle of the earth goes for about 1,800 miles. And so you bury this carbon 100 to 120 miles deep into the earth. Deep in the earth, you'll find that the temperatures are extreme. And so you take this carbon, bury it in the earth 100, 120 miles, and then heat it to 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit. Then put it under pressure. Well, you say, how much pressure does it take? It takes 725,000, that's right, pounds per square inch. And then after this diamond has been formed, the dust becoming liquidized, from liquid, it becomes hardened as it is forced to the top of the earth. And you see that many of the diamonds that have been mined throughout the world today, they come from this strata, 120 miles down, up through volcanic eruptions, and they will find these diamonds many parts of the world as a result of these volcanic eruptions that have literally taken these particles and pushed them up to the very surface of the earth. Now, for the sake of simplicity then, a natural diamond is only formed when carbon dust deep within the earth is subjected to extreme heat and incredible pressure for an undetermined period of time. The process, when you think about it, there is an uncanny correlation to that of the Christian life. A few weeks ago, just before Easter, I was sitting where you're sitting, and Tyler Jensen, he sang the song that God is making diamonds out of us. He's making diamonds out of dust. And I was wondering, just where is it that God is leading next? What is the next message series that God wants me to share with you, this body of believers? And God began to speak to me very clearly as I sat there hearing Tyler sing that song. And he began to relay to me the importance of understanding that just as diamonds start out as something very ordinary and they become something very extraordinary, that is God's plan for each and every one of us. We are common everyday dust, but God takes this common everyday dust, places his hand upon it, puts the breath of life within us, and just like Adam, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. Remember now, we are but dust, but God is making something very beautiful out of our lives that will reflect his glory in all the earth. So the process, one more time, the process is, and I want you to say it with me, you start out with what?
Dust.
Dust needs then to have the next component, which is going to be what?
Heat.
That's right. And then from heat, it is pressure. And from pressure, you need time. So you have dust, the temperature, extreme temperature, I would say. You have pressure, which is incredible, 725,000 pounds per square inch. And then you've got time. These components are all necessary to make a diamond. Friends, when the heat is on, I want to talk to you for a few moments about that first component. We are the dust. The next component is that of heat. You know, when the heat is on, let me ask you, do you become discouraged or do you understand it is part of God's plan to take you from being merely ordinary to make someone that's extraordinary. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, there is an account here that I believe spells out how God uses heat to refine us. Listen to what it says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. This messenger was John the Baptist that went before Jesus Christ. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking, that is the Messiah, that is Jesus, will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire. Remember that phrase, a refiner's fire. I think most of us at some time or another, we've either seen pictures on television or somewhere we've come across, we have seen the amount of fire and heat that it takes to take and melt silver, gold, or any other metal to purify it. That is the picture in mind. It is a fire. It's a refiner's fire. It's a hot fire. It is a fire much like what we just read about, 2200 degrees Fahrenheit, and even more so. He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit, that is the Lord God, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the Levites, which is his spiritual leaders, and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in former years. Now, friends, the refiner's fire, as hot as it is, cannot hurt silver or gold. It only reveals and then releases the impurities in the precious metals so the dross can then be removed. Carbon dust. This dust is crystallite dust that forms into a diamond under the right circumstances. Carbon dust remains in its dust form until it is melted by the scorching heat that is radiating from the earth's core. It is simply amazing how quickly heat brings out the hidden junk that is hiding deep in the core of our hearts. Have you ever been under duress? Been in those moments when we know the heat is on. It could be at the job. It might be in your marriage. It might be at home. It is financially. For those of you that are in colleges and university, it is exam week. The heat is on, and we get tense. And this is a very difficult time, and when we sense there's a melting going on and something's going on in our life, and suddenly we realize some of the stuff that was hidden on the inside begins to come out, and suddenly we start hearing language we're so ashamed of. We say, well, under the heat of battle, under the heat of the day, I said some things I should not have to my husband, to my wife, to my children, to my employees, or to my employer, or someone else. Language. God is trying to bring it to the surface, reveal it, and then get rid of it for us. The ungodly attitudes, anger and resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness, all of these things suddenly begin to surface when the heat is on. Job, you talk about an individual that went through the fire. This man, on one day, he loses his entire family, 10 children. They're all together in the same house. They're having a party. And in the midst of the party, a storm breaks out and a tornado comes and rips the house apart, killing all 10 of his children. I can't imagine the emotional pain of such a moment. And here he is, he's trying to work his way through what has just happened. And then, within a moment's time, a messenger comes and says, all of your wealth is gone. Everything, you're bankrupt. Everything you've worked for, it's gone. You talk about being in the heat. Then add to that, he lost his health. So he loses his family, his wealth, and his health. You talk about being in the heat of fire. It is simply amazing how quickly then, in the moments like that, that the hidden junk begins to come to the surface. But this man, Job, in the midst of the flames, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of this great time of trial in his life, he said this in Job 23 and verse 10. But he knows the way I take. God knows where I'm at. God knows the path I'm on. He knows the way I take. And when he has tested me, when he has put me through the fire, when the heat is on, he said, I will come forth as gold. This trial will not destroy me. This trial will not cause me to become bitter. This trial will not cause me to distrust God. This trial, the heat is on right now. And there's boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And he's in great agony in that moment. And in the midst of it all, he says, I will come forth. And when I come forth, the work of God is going to be accomplished in my life, and I shall be like gold that has been tried. So ingredient number one, if you want to create a diamond, diamonds are only created when there's a great deal of heat. And we've learned from Malachi that God uses heat to refine. Now the second ingredient in the making of a diamond is incredible pressure. That's 725,000 pounds per square inch we just talked about. So it takes heat, but then it takes pressure. In Acts chapter 14, there's a verse here that I want you to see in a new light today. Starting with verse 19 of Acts 14, it says, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there and having persuaded the multitudes. So these Jews were rabble-rousers. They didn't like Paul and the message of Jesus Christ that he was preaching. And so the Bible says they persuaded the multitudes. They stoned Paul. That's the one that gave us nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. He was the first missionary to take the gospel all throughout Asia Minor. This wonderful man, this good man, this godly man, this man that had already lost all of his reputation to follow after Jesus. The Jews have him stoned. They dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. That's almost like flying on United. Take that out of the tape. However, so they suppose he's dead. They drag him outside the city. They just leave him in a pile out there. They thought they had killed him. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, he didn't stop. He kept right on doing what God had called him to do. And when he had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Do not give up is what he's saying. And he goes on to say, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now notice there, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now here's what I want you to take home with you. The word tribulation in the Greek is thlipsis. Thlipsis means pressure. He says, in the midst of all of this, he says, we must go through many tribulations. Paul is saying we must experience great pressure. Matter of fact, he is saying a pressure that literally backs you into the corner where there's no way out and there's no way of escape. He said, there'll be times in your life you will not enter into the kingdom of God unless you experience some of these moments of heat and pressure in the Christian life, is what Paul is saying. And he says, when it comes, do not back down, do not give up, do not give in. Know that God is making a diamond and that God is going to take the ordinary And through the process, and sometimes the painful process, God is going to, through heat and through pressure, through tribulation, when your back is against the wall, when you feel like you're in checkmate, when you're against the ropes and you have nowhere to go, in moments like that, he said, it's going to give you a brand new awareness of the kingdom of God. You know, we all kind of sail along in the Christian journey until we reach a crisis moment. You know, that's true in so many areas of our life. Our marriages, we kind of get to this place where everything just kind of, you know, is settled down. Everything's going to be the way it is. It's all good. It's all nice. Everybody likes each other. Everybody's cooking is great. And everybody's mowing the lawn. And, you know, and we just kind of stay at this business kind of level. And it's not until someone comes, you know, the husband to the wife to the husband, you know, I'm not really happy. What do you mean? How can you say you're not happy? I provide a home for you and a car to drive and clothing to wear. And, you know, I work hard for you every single day. And what's happened is it's become like a business relationship. And out of that, many times they begin to evaluate and reevaluate. Where are they at in their marriage? Where are they at in their life? And through that, they catapult into a brand new way of knowing each other, loving each other, and something wonderful comes out of it if we deal with crisis in the right way. And so Paul is saying, when pressure comes, when you feel like you're being squeezed, when you feel as though everything around you is just sucking the life out of you and pressing the life right out of your soul, he said in that moment, he said, know that through many tribulations, through much pressure, we enter the kingdom of God. You know, we hear the term the kingdom of God many times that we're saying, in thinking in our minds, we're talking about heaven, that we can't get to heaven unless you go through great tribulation. That is not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, if you really truly want to know God, if you want to press on, you want to go from where you're at to the next level, you're never going to know God the way you can know God until you've experienced some pressure in this world. And that pressure may come from your job. One day you walk in and suddenly they're talking about cutbacks and they're talking about layoffs. And your security now has been yanked away from you and you feel the pressure of the moment. You sense and you feel that, you know, that you're being squeezed and this pressure is against you. The Bible says in those moments, if you deal with them in a godly way, you'll get to know the kingdom of God. You'll know the true kingdom. And when I talk about the kingdom, I'm talking about that very special place, that place where God dwells and where you get to know the heart of God. No longer just about God, but you get to know Him. You get to know that God is a good God in the midst of their pain. You get to know in the midst of the pressure that He promised that He'll never leave you, never forsake you, and He keeps His word. Amen, church? Amen. Remember then, it takes heat and pressure to produce a diamond. You know, every diamond in Scripture, what do you mean by diamond in Scripture? I'm talking about men and women that literally they shine for God in a phenomenal way. Every diamond in Scripture experienced some periods of intense pressure. When you look at David, this one that was a young shepherd boy that became king of Israel, he learned how to become a king and how to have guts by facing the pressure of a lion and a bear as a young shepherd boy. You know, to have a lion or a bear come and try to steal away, rob away, and then destroy the sheep. The Bible says that he took that lion and literally wrestled it with his own hands, grabbed him by the hair under the chin, beat him with his club until he destroyed that beast and stopped him from trying to steal away the sheep. And so when he went out on the battlefield against Goliath, remember what he said. He said, you come in with sword and spear and you come with weaponry, but I come in the name of the Lord your God. And then he went on to say this, Goliath, I'm not afraid of you. I've already experienced some pressure in my life. I experienced wrestling with a bear and I took on a lion, and I protected the sheep. And God gave me victory over these enemies. And don't think that that wouldn't be a moment of pressure. And he sensed it, he felt it. And he said, you know what I learned through that? I learned that if I have to go out on the battlefield and take you on, Goliath, I can do so because the Lord is with me. Or you think about Gideon with his 300 men against a vast army. Or think of the Apostle John. He is banished to the Isle of Patmos. He has been placed in a cauldron of boiling oil. They wanted to boil him alive, and they attempted to do so. I cannot imagine the pain of the burns that he must have had on his body. As a young child, I was running on the beach out in Seattle, Washington. And as I was running down the beach that day, unbeknownst to me, somebody had had a huge fire the night before. And as I came running down the beach, I stepped into the sand they had poured over and put over the coals just a few hours before. And that sand was so hot that it literally burned all the way down into the muscles of my feet. And the foot swelled up like this. And the pain was intense. It was incredible. And I got blood poisoning out of it and a whole host of things. Here's a man that's entire body. They place him in this cauldron of boiling oil. You talk about pressure. And John, rather than becoming bitter, he became better. Rather than becoming sour, he became a sweet voice for God. The ordinary became the extraordinary. When you think about the Apostle Paul, his own story that we just read here in Acts chapter 14, he is beaten, he's left for dead. That's not the only pressure he felt. This guy had three ships sink below him. How would you like to be out and you get on board and you run into the Apostle Paul on board ship? Every ship this guy's been on sinks. Matter of fact, the only way he made it to shore on the one occasion that you read about and towards the end of the book of Acts, chapter 26, 7, 8, somewhere in that area, the only way he made it to shore is the ship broke up into little pieces and he grabbed a hold of one of the pieces of wood and then held on to it until he found himself on shore. Here's a guy that experienced pressure. He said, I had men and women that rejected me because I no longer was persecuting the Jews. He said, I had men and women that didn't trust me because they thought that I was a fake, that I really wasn't a Christian, so the Jews didn't like me. Christians didn't trust me. I was beaten with rods. I was left for dead. I was shipwrecked. I was hungry. I was in all of these situations. Paul went through great pressure in his life. And yet he gives to us two-thirds of the New Testament. Rather than becoming bitter, he became better. The ordinary became extraordinary. We must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. That is, into that secret place of knowing God intimately. The third is time. So first of all, you've got to have some what? Dust. And then from dust, you've got to have what? Heat. After heat, you've got pressure. And now you've got an undetermined period of time. Listen to this. The rate in which diamonds forms is highly variable, depending upon the abundance of carbon, the intensity of heat, and the degree of pressure. Look at that one more time. Put that into the context of what God is doing in your life and my life. The rate in which a diamond forms is highly variable, depending upon the abundance of carbon, the intensity of the heat, and the degree of pressure. You know, scientists estimate that there's a diamond that was found in Siberia. This particular diamond, they cannot use traditional carbon dating on a diamond. They don't respond to that type of testing. And so what they do, it's almost like rings of a tree. They begin to look at the various molecules and how they are welded together and how they are formed in this particular diamond. And they can tell the approximate age by the stratas that they will find. And they found a diamond in Siberia that they say, now I realize this number is way out of line with a lot of thinking. However, they say this diamond took 300 million years to make. Say, that's a long time. A lot longer than I want to spend. Here's the deal. God shapes us according to his time period. He knows just the right amount of heat, the right amount of pressure, for just the right amount of time to produce a life that's going to reflect his glory. And that is what God is up to. We're but dust. God takes the ordinary stuff we walk on every day, the stuff that we try to get rid of out of our homes. He takes the ordinary, and from the ordinary, he makes something that's extraordinary. God is at work. Time, I've watched some people, they catapult. Have you ever marveled at somebody, brand new Christian, even some that gave their testimonies today? I remember the day they gave their lives to Christ. And it's like they just catapulted forward. And others are just kind of, they're running the race and they're making headway and they're moving on. But God knows exactly how much time it's going to take for us individually to become what God has predestined us to become. And so we need to learn how to trust that God is at work in those difficult and hard times. When the heat is on, God's at work. When the pressure's on, God's at work. And when time seems to move by so slowly, God's at work. Let me show you a picture of a diamond that is a natural diamond. Ladies, how would you like to have this rock? Now, if you look real carefully at this rock, you'll notice it's got a lot of fissure lines in it. You'll also notice it's got all the potential of being a beautiful gemstone. But in its natural state, I don't think any of us would say that has a whole lot of exceptional beauty to it. Now let's take and make a diamond into a cut diamond. Notice all the various facets. Notice the shape, the form, the beauty, the reflection, all of the things that's going on with a beautiful diamond. Now let's put the two side by side. God has made diamonds, and he's at work inside of you. And you might feel like, here I am, I'm a diamond. I'm not the polished diamond yet. Now, do you realize there's a brand new and another set of circumstances that's going to take place to make the rough diamond into a finished diamond? And we're going to talk about how God wants us to be beautiful. But not only to be beautiful, God wants us durable. Do you realize the diamond is the hardest known, substance in and of itself? You can only cut a diamond with a diamond. There's some laser cutting and a few things that can be done as well today and with new technology. But nonetheless, a diamond like you see on the right-hand side, a finished cut diamond that shines forth and has all of that beauty, is going to have to go through planning, going to have to go through some cutting, going to have to go through some polishing. There's a whole host of things got to go through. And you're going to discover once again next Sunday that each one of the steps to take the diamond on the left to make it a diamond like on the right absolutely mirrors what happens in the life of a Christian. Now, some of you in the house this morning, you're saying, I'm not sure what's going on. And I feel so deeply for you. You're saying, I don't know how much more of this heat I can take. It seems like I'm just being fried, being cooked. I'm tired of the pressure. I feel like I'm ready to snap. I can't take it anymore. God has taken the ordinary, and he is doing something that's so incredible that it can only be explained. He's making the extraordinary. He's taking dust, the dust of the ground that he took and shaped and formed a man out of. He's taking that dust, that's what we are. He's taking this dust, and he's making a diamond. The Bible talks about the gems that God chooses for himself. Several times over the years, I've gone in to see the crown of kings and queens in various nations of the world. They're always phenomenal. They're gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're beyond words. And I want you to know that God is taking what's ordinary and he's going to make you extraordinary. He wants you to become a crown, a gem in the crown of his blessing for all of eternity. But you're saying, you know, at this moment, I don't know how much more of this I can take. I don't know where this is going. It's gone on for a year, 5 years, 10 years. See, a diamond does not have a defined period of time for its pressure and heat. Only God knows when a diamond in the earth is ready, and only God knows when we're ready. This morning, if you're going through some stuff, and you're just saying, you know, man, I don't know where it's been. Half the time, I don't know where I've been. I'm not sure what this is all about or where it's all going. But I need God to reaffirm to me today that I'm in his hands and that it's okay. I will not be destroyed. He is making a diamond. And if you're saying, Lord, I just want to put myself in your hand this morning for a moment. As they begin to sing, I want you to come from all of this room. You're simply saying by coming, Lord, I just want to be a diamond in your hand. I want you to shape me and form me. And out of the pain and out of the heat and out of all the trials you're going through, you're saying, Lord, I don't want to become bitter through it. I want to become better. I don't want to be the diamond that's just a rough diamond. I want to be one that shines forth for you. And if you want to come as they begin to sing from all this room, that's you. You come. Mike Lee.